Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Mag. Good day, Mark. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
We're going to talk this week about breast cancer, and particularly screening high-risk women for breast cancer. Just a wee bit of background to begin with. Breast cancer develops if women live long enough, and about 12% of women who live to be age 90. Now, family history for breast cancer, as we know, is common in women who develop breast cancer earlier, but surprisingly, only about 3 to 5% of all breast cancers are associated with genetic mutations. The majority of these still involve the two genes that we often hear about, the BRCA1 and BRCA2. And testing for these mutations is now relatively commonplace. In fact, it's hard to listen to the TV or the radio, at least here in California, without hearing ads to get tested for these. Unfortunately, there is no universal approach, no universal recommendations. Lots of this is based on a careful family history and risk factor analysis. Despite that, there are women who either test positive for these genes or perhaps test negative for the genes, but still most of us would consider high risk. And it's those women that this particular study addresses. The clinical question is, when you have a group of high-risk women, is mammography plus ultrasound better than mammography alone? The study was published in JAMA this year. The title of the study, Combined Screening with Ultrasound and Mammography versus Mammography Alone in Women with Elevated Risk of Breast Cancer. Mark, what did this group find?
Well, this study focused on high-risk women, and I think that's a really important point because these were very high-risk women, and they asked if adding ultrasound to mammography improved outcomes or at least improved the detection of cancer. Over half of the study's 2,600 participants had previously been treated for breast cancer, and the other half had one or more family members diagnosed with breast cancer, so very high-risk group. All women underwent both mammography and ultrasound in a randomized order. Then the interpreting radiologists for each test were blinded to the results of the other study. So it was a well-designed study to look at this question. If either the mammogram or the ultrasound alone were of concern, another radiologist came in, a third one, and made an integrated final interpretation to decide on whether to order a biopsy or not.
You mean they didn't just say clinical correlation suggested?
Yeah, clinical correlation. Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Mr.
Right.
Radiologist. Biopsy-proven cancer was diagnosed within 1 year of the initial screening as the gold standard, and that occurred in 40 or 1.5% of these women. So again, very high risk. 1.5% were diagnosed with cancer within a year. Of those 40 cancers, 6 were DCIS, but the rest were invasive cancers. Mammogram plus ultrasound was more sensitive, 77% versus 50%, but it was less specific, 89% versus 95%. So the positive predictive value, which is the percentage with an abnormal mammogram or ultrasound who have cancer, was actually lower with the combined study, was 10% versus 15% with mammography alone. The negative predictive value was a bit higher, 99.6% versus 99.2%. Another way of putting it is that mammography alone is going to miss 8 cancers for every 1,000 women screened, compared to 4 missed cancers for every 1,000 screened with mammography plus ultrasound. So it's going to detect 4 more cancers for every 1,000 women. Mammography alone, on the downside, though, obviously that's an increased cost to add the ultrasound, increased inconvenience, and when they added the ultrasound, the number of biopsies ordered went from 84 up to 276. So it was an additional, basically for every additional cancer that you detect, you do another 50 or so biopsies. So that's quite a substantial number. And there's, you know, concern that having all of these comebacks and biopsies also has some psychological harm for these women. So in this high-risk group, more than half of whom who had a previous breast cancer, adding ultrasound does detect more cases than mammography alone, but also results in a lot more recommendations for biopsy.
Interesting. So that there, I mean, clearly the psychological effect of finding something in these women, in most women, but particularly in these women, it must be profound. I mean, they find something and they've got to go in for a biopsy. That must be, you know, 12 to 72 hours worth of hell until they get the results back.
And there have been studies looking systematically at that. And there have been some interesting results. And actually, one of the ones I recall looked at the impact of this cancer scare in European women who tended to be more traumatized by it versus American women who thought they were just getting the greatest care in the world because they were getting more tests done.
Right.
So there appears, and I'm exaggerating the findings, but there appear to be less psychological harm in studies here in the States than in studies in other cultures. So it may be partially a cultural thing as well.
Interesting. The other thing that, you know, correct me if your interpretation is wrong or is different, but the, you know, first of all, there's still a lot of controversy in this area of screening for breast cancer. Surprisingly, given the frequency of the condition, that we still have so much we don't know about mammograms. You know, we'll talk in a minute about how much of this can apply to lower risk women, but it seems to me that reading the literature that the new screening test that everybody's sort of talking about, that patients are asking about, is MRI, not ultrasound.
Right. There have been studies, again, in higher risk women looking at digital mammography compared to standard film mammography and MRI added, but again, those have only been in these very high risk groups. And it's just really important to, you know, there's a tendency for us, you know, sort of a technology creep where, you know, we figure out that a test is useful in a very high-risk group, and then pretty soon we're ordering it for everyone.
Right.
And, you know, in an average-risk woman, age 40 to 50, her risk of breast cancer is about 4 per 10,000 per year compared to 150 per 10,000 per year in this high-risk group. So there's a huge difference in the positive and negative predictive value, and there would be a huge increase in biopsies and in cancer scares if we started using this kind of approach with all women.
Right.
So,
interestingly, this exact same parameters are seen with MRI, that both the retrospective and the prospective studies have found that MRI is more sensitive but less specific than mammography.
Right.
So, you know, again, we'd see the same tendency, you know, to pick up a few more cancers, but to result in a lot more biopsies.
And you have to wonder also, I mean, first of all, detecting a cancer isn't the end of the story. Certainly we want to detect cancer. I mean, that is one of our goals. But not all of those women in whom we detect that additional cancer earlier are going to benefit from that. Some would have been just as successfully treated had it been detected a year later.
Right.
Some, it's not going to make any difference because it's so aggressive a cancer, it's so fast growing, and that's why it hadn't been detected on a previous mammogram.
Right.
So, you know, the benefit, the sort of the rabbits and the tortoises that we are also detecting with these additional techniques, it may not matter. The tortoises would be treated anyway. The rabbits would be, you know, potentially fatal anyway in terms of cancer growth. So when we say we detected 4 additional cancers among 1,000 women like this that are very high risk, not all 4 of those are going to benefit ultimately from this earlier detection. So we have to keep that in mind.
Right. You know, for listeners who want to review a bit of basic epidemiology, the poem that deals with this is a very nice review of positive and negative predictive value, sensitivity and specificity, false positives, false negatives, et cetera. I would encourage you, even if you're not particularly interested in the issue of mammography, it's a very nice review of basic epidemiology.
Yep, Dave Slauson wrote that one, so we've got to give him credit for that.
Excellent, excellent. Nice job. Anyways, we'll talk with you again next week. Thanks for leading us through this study.
All right, talk to you then.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.